Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Last time we were in the Word of God, we looked at a passage where there were 13 verses and the devil or the word Satan was used six times in 13 verses. Then we saw a lot of other verses when we were together too. And then we ended up, if you remember, talking about not to be afraid of demonic activity, but to understand how to combat it. And that we were to put on the whole armor of God. Then we went through the armor of God, Ephesians the sixth chapter, what that really meant. It's kind of a neat understanding because what God is saying is there's absolutely something you can do about these things. You know, the way you are, let's say for an example, that you are frustrated all the time, or you're depressed, or you're discouraged, or you worry, or you don't sleep, you have anxiety. Let's say that inside of you there's anger all the time or disappointment that comes up all the time. And you know, what we do is we run off to some psychologists and psychiatrists, and that's fine. If you want to do that, go for it. But you know, you didn't get that way just because you were born in America and your parents mistreated you. I really believe this with all of my heart, that you have been watched since birth. And satanic principles, and we saw the word actually, satanic principles, and we actually saw principalities and powers that work wickedness in dark places. We actually saw that in Scripture. And that these guys and gals, or whatever they are, these demonic things, they will actually know where to push the buttons on your life. So that when you do finally grow to some form of maturity, you've got all kinds of hang-ups and issues. You don't know how to deal with them, and you just blame it on this person or that person or some school teacher or the sergeant in the army, or you know, maybe it was your parents or your brother or sibling or somebody who put you down because of your job. We find ourselves all the time failing in life. You ever thought about this? Maybe some of the failures some of us that are experiencing here is because we really don't know how to battle the real enemy. And we really, listen to what I'm saying to you. We really don't understand when you got saved what kind of authority you have. Now, most churches in America don't teach you this. You go to church, they sing a few songs, they tell you about Jesus. And how wonderful Jesus is, and there's no doubt about it. He's wonderful, we don't want to make light of that. It's all about Jesus, we understand that. But you know, it's a big book called the Bible. And is there telling us something? It's not telling us all about Jesus, so we'll just believe that Jesus was wonderful and our Savior. He's also telling you and I how to live life. I mean, how to deal with the kids, how to deal with marriages, how to be happy day in and day out, how to feel fulfilled, how to live a life that's prosperous in every area of our life. I mean, once you get saved, let me tell you something, the enemy, we'll talk about that, the enemy's job is they're not going to keep you from heaven, but they can try to do everything they can to stop you, to get other people to go there, and also make your life such a lousy witness that nobody wants to follow you. I mean, in other words, they want to stifle you and stop you completely. That's just the way it is. Now listen, over the years, marriages have been ruined. Lives have been ruined. Children have been ruined. Over the years, families have been ruined, decades of generational curses have gone on in family after family and after family until it's finally decided. Somebody came along and said, well, that's in your DNA. But I want you to know something. The problem with that is when you get saved, you get a new DNA. It's a spiritual thing. Now you have the rights to have authority. Instead of being the victim all the time, you can be victorious. That's what this good news gospel is all about. Instead of you always being on the defense, you can be on the offense. And most people that attend American churches, listen to this, are always on the defense instead of the offense. And like we started off last week talking about, you know, here we are with a brand new year ahead of us. A new decade ahead of us. That we ought to start off on the right foot, understanding there's an enemy that wants to cause you to be the biggest loser in the world. But you don't have to put up with that stuff. This is not just a mind game, man. It's a heart game. And it's not just getting into your mind, because if he can control your mind, it controls your heart. If it controls your heart, it controls your power. If he controls your power, he has, then all of a sudden you're on the defense all the time and you never accomplish anything. You just get through life having a boring, mundane, monotonous life that never accomplishes anything. When in fact Jesus went to the cross so that you can be victorious in every area of your life. And you say, well, that's all great, but how come I know Christians that are not victorious? Because they don't know their authority. And listen to this, they don't want to believe it. They want to criticize, they want to judge, they want to point fingers. They think going to church is singing some song out of a hymnal with somebody behind the organ's 400-year-old song, and that's it. Some preacher talks about Jesus, and he's a real nice, go to church, nice, cool guy. Here, the problem here is you're not going to get that at this church. You go to this church, you're going to learn how to be what God paid the price for you to be, and more than a conqueror. Listen, listen. If you don't believe me, then start tearing out your Bible and just say, I don't believe in that verse, and start erasing it. You know what I mean? When you're finished, you'll have like five verses left that I believe. And here's one of them. And Judas went out and hung himself. I guess I ought to go out and hang myself. Life will be depressed and step on you until you learn who your enemy is. And more importantly, listen to this, that you learn what authority you have, and you don't have to be always the victim. You can now be victorious. You don't have to be on the defense. You can start to learn how to be on the offense. And that's what this is all about. Now, wait a minute. Before you get up and start judging me and get mad at me and leave, let's talk. You know, the very first thing that God did, listen to me, Genesis, the first chapter, the very first thing you read in Genesis, the first chapter, is that he created the heavens and the earth. The earth was void, and God said, and God said, and God said, and we finished the creation. You know what he did? The second thing he did is he gave authority. Now listen to me, you got to get the picture. First thing God does is he creates. Second thing he does is he establishes authority. You ever thought about that? Wasn't the third, fourth, fifth thing something way down the line? First thing he creates, second thing he does is he establishes authority. And the authority that he establishes is like amazing. And most of you know this, some of you don't have any clue to it, so let's talk about it. Go with me to Genesis in the first chapter, and let me read it to you. We're talking about understanding your authority by identifying your enemy and understanding the position that you have, that to be on the offense instead of on the defense. You got illness plaguing you and stuff chasing you and you feel crappy all the time, then it's time to make some changes. And you've done everything you know how to do. You go to the doctor, you work hard, you do all the stuff, but you haven't taken your authority in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says when you resist the devil, he will flee. But first, you're going to have to submit to God, according to that verse. In other words, God first, submitting to God's ways, and then resist the devil. And the Bible says, number three, we ended up with this last time we were together, that he'll flee. In other words, to get him away from you is not going to happen just because you're a nice, pretty person. Not going to happen because you leave him alone. Have you ever made this pact with the devil? I'll leave you alone if you leave me alone. I promise you, you'll hear these words. I'll leave you alone. Then he'll kick the crap out of you. Is anybody getting mad at me because I'm using the word crap? I know it's that's why this is adult service. Is that okay? But, you know, somebody ought to get down and tell you like it is. This is the way it is. Now, right off the bat, he creates. Second thing he does is he gives authority. Watch this, Genesis 1, 26. He's already created. Read it in your Bible for yourself. But verse number 26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. In other words, he's going to be like us on the planet. Who's the us? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He's going to be like us. This man that I'm going to make, I'm going to call out the dust, I'm going to breathe life in, and I'm going to give him the characteristics of God. Pretty powerful. He says, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all, circle the word in your Bible, the word all, the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. In other words, here's the first thing he did, he created. The second thing he did is he gave man authority. Most people don't even know that. Most people say, gosh, I wonder why God doesn't bless me. Maybe God's blessed you and you haven't taken your authority. You know, it's like saying, I'm going to school, give me an A. No, you got to take the test to pass the test to get the A. You got to study to take the test to pass the A. Well, wait a minute, I went to school. Well, you didn't study. Well, I went to school, you didn't put in any time. How come I don't get the A? I went to school. Can I tell you something? We're in church, we're Christians. How come we're not getting the A? Because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. God created and he passed along authority unto man. Now, somewhere along the line, as you know, if you go to the third chapter, you find out that man gives up his authority. Satan comes to him in the form of a serpent. Tricks Eve, and the dumb man is probably standing around, follows her. Hello. Somebody said, well, you know, the woman's all got all the problems. I want you to know something. Where was he? Standing around saying, hey, well, I see her doing it. Nobody tells us where he's at. He's probably dumber than her. But up until this point, may I say this to you, he gave authority to man because man did what? Followed God. So he gives the authority to man. Man falls into sin and gives the authority to the serpent. And all of a sudden now you find the prince and power of the air, the prince of this world, is satanic principles. You don't see them, but so what? You listen to the radio, you don't see the radio waves. They're still there. You don't see a spiritual world because you're in the natural world, but they're still there. You don't. When you turn on television, you don't know it's there. Some of you got satellite dish. You don't see the picture coming down. Here comes Tom Cruise out of 27,000 miles. It doesn't happen. I see Tom floating down. Doesn't work. What you do is you don't see a thing, but yet you believe in it, and you turn on the television all the time. It's there. And here there's a spiritual world, and everything came out of the spiritual world, made the physical world. Then God gives dominion to man, and man blows it and gives it back to Satan. Now Satan has it. Now God has a dilemma. Guess what the dilemma is? God never really has a dilemma, because before the world was ever formed, he had a plan for redemption. And in the plan of redemption was not only to take man to heaven, but also to give him the authority back on the planet. Most people don't teach that. Most people don't ever say anything about that. In other words, here's the plan. The plan is not just to get you to heaven, but while you're here on earth, that you take the authority and get that back. Once again, it's become the victorious person. God's called you to be more than a conqueror. My goodness. In Luke, the fourth chapter, here's Jesus. Listen to this. You ever thought about this? We were there last week. Go there with me. In Luke, the fourth chapter, and he's absolutely being confronted for, I think, the first time by Satan in the flesh. Jesus is in the flesh. He's been fasting for 40 days. You remember the story. And Satan visits him, takes him up into the wilderness and speaks to Jesus and tries to get Jesus to bow down and serve the devil. Jesus didn't fall for that stuff. But an interesting verse, listen to this. Now, some of you think, well, the devil doesn't have any authority. Oh, yeah? Want to see something? Watch this. Now, get the picture. Here's the devil. And the Bible tells us that it's really the devil. You'll see it for yourself. Guess this. Here's the devil talking to Jesus. Jesus has been fasting for 40 days in the wilderness. I mean, in 40 days, he's weak. He's got pressure on him. He's tempted. And the devil, don't you know, is going to come to him and say something to him. But what he says is very fascinating about authority and your authority and his authority. So let's look at it in chapter number 4, verse number 6. And the devil, I should have circled the word devil, I should have highlighted it. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it, guys. There's a spiritual realm out there that wants to knock you from pillar to post and destroy everything about you, ruin every bit of your life and defeat you. Unless you know what to do, you're going to sit back wondering why God doesn't care about you to protect you. Let me tell you something. God's given you the authority. He's not going to do it for you. It's time for us to do something ourselves. Somebody say amen. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory. For this has been delivered to me, and I gave it to whomever I wish. In other words, here's the devil coming along making this kind of a statement. He says, all this authority, I'll give it to you and their glory. For this has been delivered to me. Who gave it to him? Where did he get the authority? Adam and Eve, right off the bat from the garden. Now listen to this. Do you see Jesus arguing with the devil? Do you see Jesus coming back to the devil saying, wait a minute, you don't have any authority. You're just trying to trick me. You really don't have any authority at all. Jesus doesn't say one word about it. You know why? Because he's got the authority, not Jesus. Satan's got the authority here on this planet. But now God's got a deal. He's going to bring Jesus back, go to the cross, die for you and I, that are born of the Spirit of God, wash us with his blood, and take us back to a rightful position of authority like Adam and Eve before the fall. Thank God is right. Is anybody listening? In Hebrews, the second chapter, bump over there. Let's check it out together. In Hebrews, the second chapter, let's look at it together. And listen to what it says about Jesus. I love this. Hebrews, the second chapter. Verse number 14. Inasmuch as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood. You know, you're partakers of flesh and blood. That's what you are. You're made up of flesh and blood. Listen to what it says. It says this, he, notice the capital H in the word he, meaning Jesus, himself likewise shared in the same. Jesus came to the planet, the Son of God, and partook of flesh and blood, became all man as well as all God. That's what the verse is saying. You and I that are born of a woman on this planet, we are what? Partakers of flesh and blood. Then he comes along and makes a statement about Jesus. Jesus came, partook of the flesh and blood. He is partaker of the same. That through death, that's a cross, he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. In other words, guys, let me tell you something. You can't get away from it. You cannot get away and say, I'm going to go hide in a church somewhere and everything's going to be fine. I'll just sing a few songs and I'll listen to some really nice little preacher and never do anything. I want you to know something. Jesus came back and he became a man so he could go to the cross and die. What for? Not just to get you to heaven, but to destroy the power of the devil. Now, I want you to know, you want to understand this, that the devil has been defeated by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's, you say, well, that's great. That's Jesus. But listen to this. Go with me to Colossians. You're already there in the New Testament. Go with me to Colossians in the second chapter. Let's take a look at it together. In Colossians, the second chapter, talking about how Jesus defeated him. Listen to this. In verse number 14, verse number 15. It said, in other words, you and I had a, there's a claim against us because of Adam and Eve's fall. It's called sin in our blood, sin in our life. We're all born sinners. And there was a claim. It was like a claim that some bank would have against your car if you still owed them money. And it says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirement that was against us. Jesus comes, defeats the devil, and the claim that the devil had against you, he says, no way, I'm wiping it out. In other words, the price to get the new car from the bank, listen, are you following me? The price to get the new car from the bank wasn't paid by you. Jesus paid the price. And so he comes along and he says, has wiped out the handwriting requirement or that agreement that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way and having nailed it to the cross. When Jesus went to the cross, let me tell you something. And you believe that Jesus went to the cross for you. If you do that and he is your Lord and Savior and you have given him all of your heart and all of your life, that means you are born again. That means your past is forgiven and washed away. But I like verse number 15 comes along and it says, having disarmed principalities and powers. We're talking about Jesus getting the authority back. Jesus had to get the authority back in order for you and I, so he has to defeat the devil. But he comes along and he does this. He says, and having disarmed principalities and powers. Now, for those of you who don't believe in the devil, can I ask you a question? Why don't you get your Bible out, and why don't you get some concordance out or lexicons out, and why don't you study what principalities and powers are and stop messing around with the Word of God and just thinking your way instead of thinking God's way? Let's get out of our own stupid, stinking thinking, and let's get into what God says. Because you'll find that this, listen to this, having disarmed principalities and powers and made him a public spectacle of them, triumph over them in it. You see the words public spectacle? A public spectacle is where Jesus is literally taking him and saying, this one is defeated. The devil is defeated, and guess what he has done? He has redeemed the authority you say for himself. Wow, wait a minute. Well, that's great. Now we've seen something. God created. God gave Adam and Eve the authority. Adam and Eve blew it, gave it to the devil. There's no doubt about it. Now Jesus goes to the cross, gets it back for all of us, right? Now Jesus has the authority. And you say, well, that's cool. I'm glad Jesus has the authority. But the problem with it is he doesn't leave the authority with him. He gives it back to the church. In fact, to see that, go with me to Revelation, last book in the Bible, Revelation, first chapter. Is anybody listening tonight? Because this is what it's all about. You want to be blessed in the future. You want to have a successful marriage. You want to have a great children. You want to get off those addictions. You want to have great love flowing in your life and great harmony going in your life. You want the things of God. You want to finish life and be fulfilled. You're going to have to be a warrior for God. But the battle has already been won. Now, Jesus has taken back, listen to what he says here, and he says, I've disarmed principalities and powers, but here in Revelation 1, verse 18, he says these words, these are out of the mouth of Jesus, listen to this, he says, I am he who lives and was dead, and look and see, or behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and I have the keys of hell and of death. In other words, here's Jesus coming along. The word Hades, same word, it means someplace out there that you can't see, meaning hell. And then he comes along and he says, I have the keys of Hades and death. Where did he get it? He went against the principalities of power of the devil, made an open spectacle, and snatched away the keys of, listen to this, of hell and death. And it goes on to say you don't have to fear anymore those such things because it's not about you, anything like that at all. Now, Jesus has got it. You say, great, he's got the keys. He's got the authority. But where do I come in? Where do I come in when my family's being attacked? Where do I come in when my marriage is not working? Where do I come in when I'm struggling with finances? Where do I come in when I just don't get blessed? Where do I come in when I feel discomfortable and uncomfortable? Where do I come in when I feel insecure? When I'm a person that's not flowing in the confidence of who I am. Where do I come in? How does this work for me? How can I overcome this problem? How can I overcome this obstacle? You don't have to join Jenny Craig. You just need to get saved and start believing in who you are. Because the Bible says greater is he that is in you, that's the Holy Spirit, than he that's in the world. That's the devil. God, thank God. Now watch this in Matthew, the 16th chapter. I'm so sorry we're going a lot of verses, but this is a hard understanding for all of us to take a look at because if you're going to face the future, you want to be successful. If you're going to face the future in who Christ Jesus is. But not only that, who you are in Christ Jesus. Because until you know who you are in Christ Jesus, you will always remain the victim. Until you, listen, if you don't hear anything else tonight, you listen to me. You listen. Until you know who you are in Christ Jesus, you will always be the victim instead of the victorious. You always will be. Until you understand these simple biblical truths that Jesus went to the cross, yes, to get you to heaven, but he also went to the cross to defeat the devil. You saw it for yourself. What for? So he can take the keys. That's what unlocks death and hell. And now he's got these keys, and he comes to a guy by the name of Peter. You know Peter. And he asks Peter, he says, Peter, Who do men say that I am? And Peter answers, well, you're this and you're that prophet and this prophet. And finally, Jesus looks at Peter. I like Peter because he's real mouthy. I like mouthy people that just talk. I have to figure out where you're coming from. I just understand it was just talk. Peter's one of those mouthy people. He says, well, he says, you're the Christ. And he says to Peter, he says, Peter, flesh and blood never revealed that to you. But my Father in heaven, that Father in heaven told you of the revelation that I am the Christ. Whew, that's powerful. But the next verse gets really even better. Remember, we're talking about your authority. Jesus has got it, took it back from the devil. The devil got it from Adam and Eve. Now Jesus has got the keys to the kingdom. He's got also the keys to hell and death. But watch this. He says to Peter in verse number 18, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, stop right there. See the word rock? I should have highlighted. On this rock, it all goes back to the question that he just asked the verse before that. Who do you say that I am? He says, you're the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ. Upon that revelation, the revelation is the rock. The rock is the revelation. He says, upon this rock, I will build my church. I should have highlighted the word church. You know what the word church means up there? It means ruling, governing body upon the planet. Wait a minute. Not the devil. Listen to me. Listen. Not principalities and powers. Look up the word. It's all you have to do. It's the ruling, governing power on the planet should be the church. Why isn't it? Because the church doesn't know who she is in Christ Jesus. And we come in ceremonial into services and we don't do anything but do our rituals. And he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell. Here's a promise. Shall not prevail. If you're in the church, then the gates of hell shall not prevail. They'll come against you, but they won't win, is what he just said. That's pretty good news. Oh, I'm going to feel the pressure of the gates of hell, but I don't care. Pressure is one thing, but I'm getting up and going forward. I got Jesus on the inside of me. Listen, the gates of hell shall not prevail. But you think that's good. The next verse, verse number 19 comes along. Listen to this. Verse number 19. And I will give to you the keys. What keys? Revelation 1:18 says, I have the keys of hell and death. And he says, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom in heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth, man, it'll be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth, it'll be loosed in heaven. In other words, you're the one that's calling the shots. Devil doesn't have to call the shots. You can't lose weight. You can't stop drugs. You can't put down that pornography. You can't get off those drugs. You know you're into alcohol. You know you're into cussing. You know you're into anger. You know you're into frustration. You know you're tormented. You're tortured all the time. You're intimidated all the time. You don't have to. You're an insecure person. Your mother was insecure. I'm here to tell you the gates of hell will come against me, but they'll not prevail because I, the church, have the kingdom of God and the keys to it. And what I bind on earth is bound in heaven. And what I loosed on earth, so be it in heaven. In other words, God just gave the authority back to you so you don't have the crap kicked out of you all the time. Somebody ought to talk to you like a man. Aren't you tired of it? I'm tired of praying over your kids dying. I'm tired of calling in and feeling bad about you losing your houses. I'm tired of you losing your jobs. Tell the devil to go to hell and start walking in who God made you to be. You say, preacher, I never heard no preacher say those things from the pulpit. I know. But isn't it a whole lot better than me getting up here and just doing some little nothing? Now tonight you know you don't have to be the victim. Tonight you don't have to put up with it anymore. Tonight you don't have to sit back and let it take you out. Tonight you take him out. If you got any guts, that's what this is all about. And your guts comes from Jesus. I like this. I'm making myself happy. Last verse I thought was pretty cool. I can share it with you. Go with me, if you will, in 1 John 3rd chapter. So what does all of this mean? I love this. Ready? Let's tie it all together for some reason. Here's what it means. Verse number 2. 1 John 3rd chapter. Verse number 2. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we all think that means when Jesus comes. The word reveal means when he's seen. And when I start walking like him and talking like him and acting like him and not showing me off, but showing off him on the inside of me, then all of a sudden my workers, my friends, people around me, they see Jesus in me. Then Jesus is revealed. Listen to these words. We shall be like Jesus, for we shall see him as he is. And I thought that was pretty cool, that the church ought to reveal Jesus. Whew, the world would see him. Now watch this. Listen to this. Verse number 3 says, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself. Wait a minute, I thought God was going to purify it, do it for me. Already did it. Already went to the cross. Already died and ascended on the third day to heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat. Already did that. What do you want him to do it again? He's already done it. He said, everyone has this hope in him. What's the hope? That you're going to reveal Jesus to a lost and dying world. Listen to this. Or that even if it is Jesus is coming. Either way, when Jesus is seen, here's what's going to happen. We have this hope inside of us. And what do with that hope? We purify ourselves. Purify ourselves. You say, how do I do that? Kick the snot out of the devil. I don't have to put up with that stuff anymore. I don't have to listen to my body. I listen to God. I don't have to listen to my flesh, I listen to God. I don't have to listen to the neighbors, I don't have to watch pornography, I don't have to be on the internet all the time, I don't have to read my emails that are more important than spending time with my wife. Why? Because I'm going to reveal God. I've got to purify myself. I've got to do my job. In other words, to get the A, I've got to go to the school, I've got to study, I've got to get there, take the test. I want the A. I had to purify myself. Listen to this. Just as he, Jesus, that capital H, is pure. So all of a sudden, you and I can live this pure life. I didn't say a religious life. Obviously, I'm not religious. Anybody figure that out yet? I'm not religious. But here's what we're talking about. All of a sudden, now I can live the life that God says I can live. I don't have to have somebody, you know, wave a magic wand over me. I can do what God tells me to do. His grace gives me the power to do what his word demands. And all of a sudden, I can live like God would have me to live. I don't have to be pushed around and beat up and defeated, down, discouraged, and full of anxiety, wondering if I should go to the doctor to get some more Prozac. I love you doctors that are out there. God bless you. Half the church would be dead and wasn't for you. But there's going to come a day when the church is going to wake up. You can see the rest of the world, but you won't see us because we're going to get healed. Should be. Doesn't mean you don't go to the doctor. Doesn't mean you don't listen to the doctor. But man, I'm going to tell you something. Those things don't defeat you. Get you so down, so discouraged that you stop doing what God would have you to do. You keep on going. You keep on fighting. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Let's review. Number one, God created. When God created, the second thing he did is he gave authority. Authority to Adam and Eve. They lost the authority at the fall. Lucifer got it, Satan got it, the devil got it. We see that Jesus and the devil are talking, and the devil says, I have all this authority to give to you. God doesn't argue with him about it. He got it. Then Jesus goes to the cross, dies, raises from the dead, sprinkles his blood on the mercy seat, comes back, defeats the devil, takes the keys of hell and death from the devil, calls out the church, the governing power upon the planet, ought to be at least, says, I give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you call out on this planet, that's the way it will be in heaven. And whatever you don't call out in this planet, that's the way it'll be in heaven. I'm giving you the authority to cast out demons, trample on scorpions. I'm giving you the authority. And all of us that are in here, there's one of two roles that you will play for the rest of your life. Role number one, you will be a victim. And you'll play that because you know how to play it like a harp. It gets you attention. It gets you pity parties. It gets you people patting you on the back, feeling sorry for you. And that's better than being a nobody. But why not grow and be a somebody? A child of the living God, that all things are possible to him that believes. Jesus Christ went to the cross and died that you might be victorious. In every area, you have a voice, you have a life that needs to be heard on this planet, and you can be victorious. So you can either be the victim or you can be victorious. And you and I need to know that the devil is defeated, and we don't need to go around casting out devils out of doorknobs every time you hit your hand against the door or your refrigerator breaks and you beat it up and cast the devil out of it. I'm not talking about stupid stuff. I'm talking about real stuff. I'm not talking about foolish evaluation of what's the devil. I'm talking about what's real. We got a lot of fools out there that blame everything on the devil. May I say this to you? There's a devil. You will know when it's him. He's trying to defeat you. If your refrigerator goes out, believe God for a new one. Don't try to cast the devil out of it. It isn't going to work. The devil isn't living in your refrigerator. He's living next to your mind telling you what to do. And let's be wise Christians. Has anybody heard the word of God tonight? Come on, give the Lord a great big praise. Thank you, Jesus.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.